Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We had a leadership class yesterday at 7, and this kind of confirmed what I was preaching tonight, so I thought it was pretty neat. Hebrews chapter 11, you'll know that this is it's the kind of the Hall of Fame of Faith and the faith chapter, right? But I want y'all to see some things in it that I've never seen. We're gonna cover four verses, if we can in the time, 1, 6, 7, and 35. Y'all ready? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I made a note before I left the house. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Faith has substance and evidence. Substance and evidence. The world says, see and believe, right? The Christian says, believe, right? Believe. Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. You say, man, that faith, seeing that, just having faith in Christ, just having faith in what Jesus done, that's hard because I can't see it. There's so many things, there's so many proofs that I can take you to. One would be easy. I could take you to the country of Israel, Jerusalem, and show you them, and you'd say, man, if God wasn't for them, how could they survive? We could probably take the strongest man in this room and surround him by 10 other people, and I guarantee you, eventually, he'll be broke down by 10 other men. Amen? I don't care how strong he is. If you have 10, that's 10 nations surround Israel, and every one of them have a desire to destroy them. But they just keep clocking along. And they say, well, okay, that's Israel. You know, that's way out there. I'll give you another one, another proof. In 2004, I got saved. And I really didn't care about anybody before that but me. And all of a sudden, I started caring about other people. And I let God have control of my life. And I didn't worry about the things that I was going to do the rest of my life. I wanted to do things that He wanted me to do. That was totally different of my character. Is there anybody in here operating in total difference of your character just because you had an encounter with Jesus Christ? You're living by faith. Somebody would say, well, show me. And you'd say, I can't show you. I can't take you to a place and say, here was Jesus. I can take you to a place where I got saved, but I can't take you to the place where He's there, and I can't have any evidence other than the things that's transpired in my life. Amen? I just believe. And I'm not talking about believing in Jesus Christ in a way where I believe that He was the Son of God. Well, the devils do that. The devil, they believe, but they don't put their faith and trust in what He is and who He is. Amen? They go a step further than unbelievers sometimes. They don't tremble at His name. Amen? The devils tremble at His name. So we didn't tremble at His name when we were lost, right? But I like that where, you know, the world says, show me and I'll believe. And I say, believe and I see it. Amen. I believe so much that I put my whole life and all my family and everything, all my finances and everything I got, I put it into Christ Jesus. And you know what I've found? He has not let me down yet. My faith in Christ Jesus, it hadn't let me down not one time. Amen. I'm totally satisfied with how my belief in Jesus Christ has worked out for me. And we're down the road a little bit. Amen. Now, up to that point, 30 years living without Christ, I was never satisfied. Oh, I could preach right there for about an hour. Were you ever satisfied? I wasn't satisfied. Even when I got some of the things that I wanted more. Amen? Are y'all there? I love that. Let's go to verse 6. I know I'm jumping around, but I want to get somewhere. I've been to this a many a times, but tonight it's got a different ring to it. It means more to me tonight. If you've been saved for a while, it'll mean more to you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to Him, who cometh to God, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want y'all to hear this, and I've never preached this before, and I'm not really sure if I've ever heard anybody preach it, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Man, that'll rock you to your core. You mean there's nothing I can do to please God except believe that He is by faith? Man, that will rock your world if you're one of these people who've tried to please God without believing in who He is. God, I can remember before I got saved, I went to church. I could run my list on God. I've been to church. So what? I was raised in a Christian home. So what? I've prayed. So what? I've read some of the Bible. Has anybody in here tried to read the Bible before you got saved? Man, what a mess. I can remember. My dad bought me a burgundy Bible that followed me through my sinful life. All those rotten apartments. All those places. I don't know how it did it because I thought I got rid of it many a times. But there it would be. On my worst day, on my worst hour, I'd look down and say, Bible. And I'd do it again. I'd pick it up and go, all right, God. You know how you do, God. You never sound more like the devil when you start out with talking to God by if you're. Amen? If you ever go back and listen when He tempted Him in the wilderness, every time He started the sentence, if you be the Son of God. So if you're still talking to God like if this and if that, you're not believing in Him. And that's why it's not working. Amen? But I remember reading that book and I'd get in there and I'd be like, and I'd say, it don't make any sense. When I got saved and faithfully believed in who He was, it was like looking at the answer book to life and all of a sudden seeing all the answers. Amen? All of a sudden you're sitting there going, if this happens in life, here are the answers. And you're like, I remember having this conversation out loud at work sometimes. I would look around because I got saved in my Egypt. I got saved in Shaw Industries, Plant WE. I got saved. Amen? And I had to go back and work in there for about 6 more years. And I would read my New Testament Bible. And I can remember saying this out loud ever so often. While I was doing my job, I would get little breaks in between. I'd read some scriptures. And I can remember hearing myself say this, I can't believe that this is in here. I would look around and go, did anybody know? The answers are here. I'd preach to myself. I preach better messages back then than I do now. I think some of the carpet that will be in heaven came from Shaw Industries Plant WE. I don't care if it is or not. I don't get all twisted up in your theology. I'm not saying that carpet's going to make it from heaven here. I know. I'm not that. Don't get after church. Oh, I don't think that's. I know. I'm just saying, boy, I preached some good stuff to some carpet even before I was called to preach. Amen? I mean, I sat there and just let it have it because I get so excited. You ever get so excited when you're reading the Word of God, you just got to tell somebody, even if it's yourself? That's the good stuff. Amen? Hey, the best times you're going to have with God is not a big crowd. If you're looking for a stage or a group of people to hear you, then you've waited too long. Amen? Pour yourself out to God. He'll pour Himself out to you. And guess what? I've had bigger times with God by myself than I'm ever going to have with you. I'm being honest. I like being in a relationship with Jesus. Because sometimes He'll show me stuff. If I showed you some of the stuff He showed me, we'd be in radical trouble. Amen? I'm sorry. Some of y'all are now curious and want to be like, do that, all right? I get it. But I want you to get that first part of that verse. Stop trying to please God without faith. It ain't going to happen. God is not, He's not even considering your service up to that point. What He'll do is He'll consider the fact that you're trying to believe in Him and He'll help you get there. He'll put somebody in your path that'll give you the gospel and give you the way in, but He's not going to, your amounting things are not going to matter to God. Somebody told me, if that boy would stop cussing, then maybe God. No, it don't work that way. No. If he'd get dressed a little bit better, if he'd get a haircut, if he'd stop looking at bad stuff, he'd stop drinking. No. If he'd get his emotional affairs in order, if he wouldn't, the way he is mentally, I hate to tell you this, but guess what? You got to come as you are. Amen? You got to just come as you are. See, Christianity, I hate to tell you this, is an inside job. It's an inside job. It's not an outside inside thing. It's an inside outside thing. God will get in you and say, man, I'm preaching. You might not like it, but I am. I'm telling you the truth. God will get in you, and it might even be a while before everybody else recognizes the fact that He got in you. Somebody, oh no, you don't know me, brother. Listen, I know some people that it took a minute, but guess what? They're on fire for God. Amen? It might take you a while. Hey, you're a babe in Christ. You know what that means? You're going to have to learn to eat, walk, talk, and live all in the first couple of years. And guess what? Sometimes that takes some falling down, some making mistakes, and sometimes other people can't handle that, but that God can. Amen? Some of y'all should shout every once in a while. Is your shouter broke? I kind of worry about some of you because every one of you, when I preach like that, act like, oh, I didn't have any problems. I went right from Christian to ultimate superior Christian in a heartbeat. I did not. I made some mistakes. Matter of fact, I probably made some about 24 hours ago. I'm giving myself some liberty. It's probably 7. I'm still learning how to be a Christian. I've not arrived, and I don't plan on arriving until I arrive in glory. And somebody says, well, you ain't going to be a mature. Listen, I'm being honest with you. If God made me, I'd be so puffed up in myself. Praise God. I'm glad when we get to heaven, we're looking through a glass darkly. God said, we can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. He said, when you get there, listen, He leaves some flaws in you where you understand you rely and you need Him more than anything. God, I'd preach on an hour by that right there. I'm just telling you, that's good stuff. I worry about people who act like they've arrived. Y'all, never mind. I'll go on. This ain't even the meat of what I'm trying to preach. I'm just trying to give you these to set the table. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Man, I'm telling you right now, you got to believe. It's a simple thing. If I come to Christ, if I come to Him, He will accept me. Amen. I believe salvation happens one time. I believe you keep it until eternity. That's my belief, amen, just by the Scripture. But I want to tell you something. I want you to hear this. I had a boy who used to come to my church. He was a gangbanger. And that boy come, the first time I ever met him, he wore all red. Red sneakers, red pants, red shirt, red hat. I said, boy, you are bright, amen. I didn't say it to him. I just thought to myself. I tried to be kind to him. He stuck out like a sore thumb. We was a country church called Macedonia Baptist Church in Villanelle, Georgia. If you don't know where Villanelle, Georgia is, there's a purpose for that. It's in the middle of nowhere. That church has been there 130 years. The Civil War soldiers used it as a hospital. Amen? And they still use the church. They operate the church the same as everything, even though the floor is about to fall through and the ceiling. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. It's all right. But he came there and he sat there and he looked like a sore thumb, stuck out. He got saved about 6 times. No, he didn't. Listen to what I'm saying. He didn't get saved 6 times. But you know what? He come to the altar and said, I need Jesus. But there's a guy come preached on finances at our church. It was a good message about finances. He's talking about, you know, how you can bless God and everything like that. He got saved. That guy said, man, I didn't even know that was a rule. I didn't even know that was a message about salvation. I said, it wasn't. I said, but God's working on that old boy. Amen. And time after time after time, he was just seeking. He was seeking and seeking. You know what? Eventually he found him. Amen? He found out he had a security in Jesus Christ. Amen? He probably got saved the first time or the second time or the third time. He got saved. Amen? And every time I've talked to him ever since, he's been saved. You know what? That joker didn't change much. He ain't no gangbanger, but you know what? He dresses about the same. And you know what I've come to understand? God's all right with that. You know why? Some of y'all kind of, he still dresses the same, does he? Well, yeah, he does. But the last few times I talked to him, what he was doing was going into schools and he'd see about 40 and 50 people get saved that can relate to him at a time. I mean, at a time. Because he could relate to them because he was in the same associations and gangs and people in the same school system. And they've let him come in there now, but his message changed. You know what I found out about the old boy? I sat down with him just recently, back in March. I know it's in the wintertime. And you know what I learned about the old boy? He's probably as doctrinally sound as anybody I've ever talked to. And I thought, wow. And he said, I'm an apologist. And he goes, I like to listen to Moody. And I said, you don't look like a Moody listener. Amen. So stop looking on the outside of the cup and remember that God says it's all kinds, and He's the one who changes the outside of the cup. And if He don't want it changed, don't mess with it. Amen? We're always trying to fix people when we can't. We know we can't. We can't even fix ourselves. It's probably why some of our relationships don't work out, because we're always trying to fix the people we're in relationships with. I won't go into a whole line of that stuff, but if you'd stop trying to fix them, be who you are, pray for them every once in a while, and let God work it both out, and you'd have a better relationship. Amen. That didn't cost you nothing. Write that down and make a note. Amen. Is this message better than you thought it was going to be? It is for me. This is real. This stuff I wasn't even going to preach. I love when God does that. You study stuff. I sit in that office or at my house or riding down the road and going wherever we go, and I pull out scripture and I pray over them and read them. I think, God, man, this is going to be dreadful. I said, no, don't worry, I'll get in it. When you know you can, I will. Amen. Y'all ready? I'm going to give y'all one more. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you two. One's going to come from 7. The other one's going to come from verse 35. We're familiar with 7. Hebrews 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. We all know the story of Noah, and I love it. I love it. And this is where last night during the class on communication, there were some points there, and that's where I was already working on this thing, but then God said, ha, there you go. All right, so listen everywhere you go for whatever God's trying to do in your life. So listen, I want you to hear this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Listen to this part right here. Not seen yet. A thing's not seen yet. How hard would it be for us to live by faith and God to do something in our life even though we ain't seen it yet? Hard. I'll break it down for you. It's never rained yet. The boat was being built on the top of a mountain. There was no body of water for Noah to put the big ark into it. By boat standards, it does not look like a boat should look in your mind. Man, some of y'all need to go to the Ark Encounter. If you ever get a chance, I'm not putting in a plug for everybody, but I'm just telling you, once you get the gravity of how big that place is, what in the world, right? You pull up to that Ark Encounter and you look at it and you go, wow, wow. But there had to be some things that Noah did. Noah had to say to God, I trust in you more than things that I've seen up to this point. God, no, man. If you really got a hold of that right there, I could leave and the message would have been good enough for you. Amen? Okay, for somebody that's not been saved, you don't know what it looks like to be saved. You've got to trust Him that He can do better than you can at running life. You know how hard that is for people? You know how hard it is to think about, especially guys, that we're going to have to let God erase our image of who we think we are? I don't know what it's like to be a woman because I've never been one. I don't want to be one. I'm never going to be one. Amen? I'm just saying. So you guys make up your idea of what but for God to take your identity and scrub it and change it, because guys, we're big into identity. I'm a Ford man. I'm a Chevy man. I'm a hunter guy. I'm a fisher. I'm a carver. I'm a this. I'm a that. Yeah. And God said, no. I'm going to make you and mold you into something totally different than you think you are. And because the first thing you think, can I preach? Can I have a little bit of liberty? Thank you, I will have. All right, guess what? God said, all right, you think, well, if God saves me, then whoop, life over, boring life, sit around church, you know, take up some boring existence and never have fun, and man, never get to be a man, never get to do, you're out of your stinking mind. That's somebody's Christianity, but that ain't God's idea of it. Amen? God is a rock'em sock'em God. And He is a wide open God. And He will take you places that you'll never say bored. Amen. He'll put some things in your life that you'll never say, God, what are you going to do? I don't see you. You'll do it. He's better than that. So if you're all sitting on this side of salvation, God's better at doing life than you are. I couldn't see it, but man, when I finally gave up, amen, when I finally run up the old white flag and said, God, I surrender. Man, about 5 years in, I remember several times looking at my wife saying, man, this is pretty good stuff. Amen? I remember coming home to my wife today, and I'm not bragging on myself, but I will just a little. I was over there cooking and doing something. I was making myself some eggs, and she said, I said, thank you. She said, for what? I said, for staying married to me. She said, what? I said, for staying married to me. I said, man, there's people going through this and that, and people leaving and doing and got. I said, man, I said, even when I was like, you could have walked out at any time, and it would have made sense. And especially since we got saved and I took you into some crazy church places, you could have left at any time. But I said, man, thanks for staying with me. You're awesome. You know what I mean? And I mean that. Ain't you glad that somebody stayed with you, even through the crazy? Amen? Amen? I love that thought. I don't know where I was going with it, but I liked it. Where was I going with that thought? Sorry about that. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, not seen as yet. Okay, life being farther than yet. He was better than he is at life. He's better at some things. I don't want to jump all the way into somebody because they'll see. But listen, God will take you. He will open up some things in your life that you don't think you're qualified for as a Christian. Now, let's break it. Y'all want to break it down further? Some things that you're not ready for. Woo-hoo! That's even better. I'm not ready for this. God don't care, does he? God is an on-the-job training God, ain't he? I mean, he will throw you on the job and say, I'll train you in the midst of it. Just trust me. Some people in here, I mean, I wish I just had a one or two every once in a while go, amen, I'm on the job and I'm new on the job. But praise God, it seems like I'm pretty qualified because he keeps adding to my job. Amen. James, every once in a while, say amen. It wouldn't hurt you none. I wasn't trying to be specific, but it wouldn't hurt none. Amen. I'm not ready. I don't want to do it. Another and another and another. Amen. Stack them up, turn them sideways, put them in here, all right? We're not ready, but God is, apparently. Amen? I'm not ready to teach. Guess what? You'll be teaching. I ain't ready to preach. I'm preaching. Guess what? I told God, I said, you need to find somebody more qualified. I got all kinds of people that are qualified, but I want you, and you're not qualified, but I'm going to let you do it. You'll get qualified in the midst of it, in the midst of it. I want to help y'all. Billy Graham, y'all know who he is, right? Billy Graham laid his Bible up on a stump in the woods of North Carolina and laid it and said, God, I don't know this enough to preach your word. God said, good. I can still use you. Amen? So you're in good quality when you told God you ain't ready or you don't know enough, you're not qualified enough. Guess what? That's good because you'll have to totally rely on God. I worry about the people that say, I'm totally ready right now. Praise God scares me to death. I'm like, man, somebody said, are you ready to preach? I said, yeah. Are you nervous? Oh, yeah. You still get nervous? Yes. I worry about the people that don't get nervous. Amen? You can always tell when I'm nervous. I hate to give my tail away, but my nose itches. Oh, I mean, it does. Only sitting there going on kids, somebody says, man, that dude's got some serious nose issues. It's not that. I just get so nervous and my nose itches all the time. That's my tail. So if you're sitting here wondering why I'm picking at my nose, it's not because that. Don't you wish I could stop the recording like for a half second on that? Let's get in. By faith, no, being warned of God, not seeing as yet, he's better at whatever you're going to do. He's better at the next life too. Moved with fear. He moved with reverence. Are we still moving with reverence as children of God? I think we forget who God is. God's a heavy God. He's a big God. We should reverence him. Thank you, finally. Oh, but thank you. I'm telling you, he's a heavy. Listen, some of we think God just, listen to what Moses, listen to what Noah had to do. Noah had to make a list. All right? Noah had to make a list. I can't rush past this. I can't. We might be here all night. I'm sorry. Check this out. Prepare an ark for the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. I thought for that. I said, why in the world was that in there? He condemned the world. Did Noah condemn the world? Noah didn't condemn the world. I don't condemn the world. Amen? I don't. You don't either. But once you believe in Jesus Christ, like Noah believed in that ark, which he believed in God, You know what he said? I condemn the world to myself. Do you see it? God, man, no, listen, I was going to go past this point, and I'm so glad I didn't. See, the Ark of the Covenant, the Noah's Ark is a very big picture of Jesus. I hope you know that, right? There's only one door to get in the Noah's Ark. God gave the specific details of how to build it. When it was ready, when judgment was ultimately come, he said, come in, right? God, I'd like to preach about another hour on this. All the life was inside the boat. Amen? There was no life going to be outside. There is no life outside of Jesus. Amen? So he put all the life in. Then he said, come in. And he shut the door like God will shut the door. Amen? This is Noah. And you know what he said? He said, God, I wish y'all get this. Noah said, I trust in this boat more than I trust in this world. I condemn the world, not the people. You're condemned. I condemn this to myself. I'm asking you, have you condemned the world to yourself? Amen? Because you know what he's saying? I trust in this boat. I trust in this ark. I trust in God more than I trust in my future outside of it. Amen. You hearing me? Jesus comes along. Amen? And what you got to say is, I trust in Jesus more than I trust in this world, and I'm going to condemn the world to myself. I would rather die than live in the world. I would rather be with Jesus than to be in the world. That's a deep thought, man. I was sitting there reading, and I'm thinking, man, why in the world did it say that he condemned it to himself? And you know, when you do that, people are going to look at you like you're crazy. You mean you believe in Jesus more than you believe in the weather, the earth, your house? Yes. Yes, I do. Aren't you afraid you're going to lose everything? No, I'm afraid when I lose everything, I'm going to gain everything. I said, never mind. Y'all good? Can y'all handle that? I want y'all to hear this. Noah never seen this. He had never seen this happen. What God was asking him, I don't know what the rapture looks like. Some of y'all, well, I do. No, you don't. The trump sound out of the eastern sky? What's that sound like? What's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? We take off up into the air? Amen? I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what that's going to look like. Jesus sitting on a white horse? Don't know what that looks like. Hey, where are we going, right? I know we're going to heaven. I know we're going to be in His presence. But you think you're cool and stuff, I guarantee you're going to be a jaw open. Wow. Amen? Y'all getting it? He had to do something. He had to register in his mind. See, we have to make some steps. If we're going to follow Jesus by faith, we got to do some things by faith. We got to say, what God said, I'll just do it. Y'all get it? He gave him a blueprint. God, I wish y'all could. I don't want to wear y'all out, but he gave him a blueprint on how to build an ark. What if Noah went, what if I could? We do that, don't we? God tells us to do something, and then we kind of put our abject reasoning to it. But God says, hey, do this. He said, okay, exactly, to the measurements, to the T. Because I want this thing to go through. I want you to go through. I want you to go through it. Amen? And if you don't do it my way, you ain't going through it. Man, God is not a politically correct God. He said, if you're going to do it my way, you're going to go through it. He had to resign in his mind that God's authority is perfect. Whatever he says to do, that's what I'm going to do, to the measure. I wonder if his boys, amen, every once in a while said, we just ain't got enough of this, ain't going to happen. So we ain't cutting it short. Let's pray, and God will deliver everything we're going to need. Amen? But hey, why are you putting all these little boots? Because the animals are going to go there. I know some of you think, whatever. I'm just saying, well, the tigers and the bears and the na-na-na-na. And you're like, whatever. That ain't ever going to happen. I would have loved to have been there on the day that the animals showed up. I don't know if you're not that kind of person or not. I really don't care. There's something wrong with you then, if there is. But could you imagine two by two just walking up and walking in there? I mean, wild animals just in total obedience. And some of y'all are worried about the political stance of this world. Guess what? The whole world groans for Jesus. The whole world is groaning for the second coming of Christ. Don't worry about the planet. The planet was made by God, and it's waiting for God to return. You're hurting Mother Earth bows and bends to Father God. God, make it, that's a sherp. Amen? Man, that's the second time in a row I've sat here and said a couple things, and they'd be great shirts. Don't take all the credit for it. God, that's pretty good. What God says, when God says, to do it, right? I'm doing it right now. Some of us, we've already failed at this to a certain degree. We keep telling God, well, I will one day. I'm not old enough, and you get old enough. Well, I ain't got enough money. Well, I ain't got enough this. Well, when I get old, and next thing you know, I'm too old. Get somebody younger. Stop it. Just stop it. Do it when if it's in your capability and God's telling you. The only reason you ain't being blessed is because you ain't doing it.
Amen.
And that's it. That's it. And then, I want to go on, but I can't. That's why we got a bunch of mean, bitter people in the church.
Yeah.
You say, why do we got a bunch of mean, bitter people in the church? Because God told them to do it. They did not do it, and they put it off, and an awesome whippersnapper come along and did it. I don't like him. I know why you don't like him, and I know you don't like her, because they're doing what you should have been doing instead of getting in the line and helping them now because God told you to do it. It's easier for you to sit back and say, I don't like the way you're doing stuff. Good. Praise God. I just solved all the church problems we have in the world. But will they be heeded? I don't know. I'd rather try something and make a total mess of it than sit on the sideline and do nothing. I would, and I have made some messes. But the people come along and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. So, well, grab one end of it. Let's do it. No, I'd rather not. Okay, I'm going to go. Can you feel my personal angst in that? When God, where God, where? If God gives you a place to operate, don't try to make an excuse of where there's some other perfect land at a perfect time and a perfect place for you to do it. No, if God tells you to do it, do it. Do it to the best, right there. Right there. Sometimes we think we're going to get some glorious position. Can I just wear you out just for a second? I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear it real clear. There are no glorious places serving God. It is a glorious place to serve God wherever you're at. Whether you're standing in a pulpit, in a rice paddy, in a soup line, or at the nursing home, or if you're being thrown on a burn pile. No, y'all don't like it. I don't like preaching like that either. Wherever you're at, the service of God's beautiful.
Amen.
If God's called you to be a mama and to raise your kids as little Christian kids, do it to the best of your ability. It's needed. So many people have moved out to make a financial blessing instead of a spiritual blessing in their homes. And some of y'all go, oh, there you go. No, Listen, I ain't old-fashioned. My head ain't stuck in the sand. But let me tell you something. God said the kids are what we have. That's our honor. That's our arrows in the quiver. And we're trying to bless them with outside stuff instead of a relationship. And the mothers are going, you can work all you want to, but don't forsake raising your kids. And the fathers got them. Well, Dad, you're busy too. You're going to give them a better life than you ever had. Well, they don't even know who you are. Amen? They've got everything all the kids have. They got the same name, brand. They got all the stuff. But you know what they don't have? They don't have a dad. They need a dad. They need to know who you are. Amen? I know that's eating your lunch. And guess what? I don't mind to eat your lunch every once in a while. Don't be mad at me. Talk to God about it.
Amen.
How God? How God? How God told you to do it. Don't do it like everybody else is going to do it. Don't do it. Don't. Well, they've done it. And golly, I'd love to kick your tires on this one. We've always done it. Yeah, don't. I'm sorry. We might not always. Might do it. How are you going to do your ministry? That's how God told me to do it, so I'm just going to do it that way. I'd rather him be mad at me than you be mad at me. Are you good? Now, we can all, man, I love this. That's Noah, right? Everybody on board with Noah? Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to 35, and I'll close with this somewhere in about the next 15 minutes. Sorry about that. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Amen. I'm glad about that, but that's not where I'm going. And others were tortured. Listen to this. And others were tortured. Who? No names. No heroes. Matter of fact, I've went to the Bible. I don't know who these people are. These people don't get even a mention in the Bible of who they are. Amen. I know who the women who had their children raised from the dead. There were two of those instances. But I don't know who these others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. See, I'm teaching these together, and I might do this for a couple of weeks, you know, on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. I want you to see this comparison. We know Noah. We can get on board. We've been doing that. We've been doing a children's class ever since we've been this high in church, knowing about Noah. But we don't know about these others who suffered for Christ. And somebody apparently was going to give them an out. And don't talk. I'm not talking about somebody don't like you. I'm talking about they were torturing these. When you mean torture, it means your life is being put out. Amen? And they gave them an opportunity. Hey, you want to live? Deny Christ. Live for this temporary time. Now, I think I want to be a part of the long-term plan, and I think I want to be a part of the greater resurrection. So go ahead and do whatever you're going to. Nope. Because, you know, in 100 years, our faith is inside, and God ain't going to deliver. Amen? He ain't. He's not going to do what you think He's going to do, because God's going to want you to walk through that heartache, through that darkness, and through that glory, through that. The part of the eternal and the temporal. I've had several great experiences seeing people do that. Can I show you one more thing, and I'm going to close. As y'all stand, and Scott comes to get the song, and Miss Betsy here. We're going to do this a couple of times, but I want y'all to get familiar with verse 38. Y'all don't have to go and look at it, but I want y'all to get familiar with it, okay? There's a list of people God starts talking about, and they're no-name people. Y'all can stand. Check this out. God's given a list of all the people and what they went through for their faith. In the midst of it, he pauses, and I call this when God really breathed into the Scriptures. In verse 38, he said, "Of whom the world was not worthy." And then he continues to go on describing the people who suffered for their faith. Amen? Can I tell you something? If you're of the household of faith, if you're saved and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this world is not worthy to behold you or to hold you. You hear me? Listen, I don't know what you've been told. I don't know what you tell yourself, the latter being more important. I don't know what you've heard, but I don't know what you tell yourself. If you're a child of God, this world is not worthy to hold you. You are great in the eyes of God. Serve Him until it's your time to stand before Him. As they sing a song of invitation.